I'm ready to get underway, excited about getting underway. As you know, God deals with me in visions and words. And so the word for this week is together with a vision. And I'll show you a picture of the vision next, but the word is engage. God uses all things. And so, as you all know, I've been watching Star Trek Voyager. And that is a common word throughout Star Treks. Throughout, engage. All right. Whatever the guy behind the controls are, go to warp 8. Engage. Engage. So God uses all things. I'm not saying that the word came from Star Trek Voyager, or am I watching Star Trek Voyager, but it very well may have. But when I heard it, the Holy Spirit leapt. And so does it matter to you where the word comes from? When God is speaking to you, does it only can it only come from behind the pulpit? Can it only come from somebody shaking and quaking and speaking in other tongues and says, "Thus saith the Lord, engage shall be thy word and no other"? You know, how is it that you will hear from God? I find God speaking to me through all types of various ways all day, every day. Through my seeing nature, through my interacting with other people, watching television, whatever it is, I'm finding more and more that I'm in communion with the Lord. Hallelujah. And how do you know? I believe the Spirit leaps, and then out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. It could be engaged, and I could go through the week and say, you know what? I have that happen. I think it's going in a certain direction, and it just peters out. It just like, nope, that's it. Maybe it goes onto a shelf for another time. But in any case, this word engaged endured for the week. And the more I started to study, the more I started to pursue, this whole message just started to take shape. So I would like to read to you the definition of engage out of the dictionary. This is not like out of the Hebrew or anything. This is just the dictionary. Engage. Move into position so as to come into operation. Now listen. We have been sitting under teaching for how many decades? Everyone here in this room has been sitting under teaching for decades, not months, not years, but decades. I believe we are moving into a season of activity, of action, of doing. Just do it is going to be our logo. It's time. Now is the time to move into position so as to come into operation. We as individuals need to come into operation. There was a whole move, and how many believe that this is true in the church, where something comes about, a revelation comes about. How about it's by faith alone? Martin Luther nails onto the door, it's by faith alone. And so then this whole word work in the church was a faux pas. To speak the word work, to say I've done a great thing, I'm working, all of a sudden you're like, you're going to have three or four brothers or sisters huddling you into the back corner after church saying, oh, wait a minute now, it's by faith alone, it's by faith that, right? Work has become a dirty word in the church. Anybody know the hymn, Work for the Night Is Come? Work for the Night Is Coming? It's one of my grandfather's favorites. Okay, so this is all going to tie together for us. Engage. Move into position so as to come into operation. I feel like God has been speaking to me. And I believe God has been speaking through me. I believe that He's doing the same for you. But if we are hearers only, what good is it? What good is it to get a revelation? Have you ever spoken into somebody's life? You know it's the Lord. You've spoken and spoken and spoken and spoken. They hear, they hear, they hear, they hear, and they never do. They never move into position as to come into operation with any of the things that you've spoken to them. How must God feel? I've given you revelation. I've given you understanding of tools. I've given you understanding. And there's no moving into position for the operation of the revelation. And so part of that, we'll talk a little bit today, why is that, okay? But now there's the word, and here's the picture. So when I'm getting this word, I'm receiving a picture at the same time. This happens to be of the inner workings of a transmission of a car. Gears. See all the gears? There's two shafts there. Excuse me? Two shafts with a bunch of gears on the shafts. So all week I'm having this vision of gears. And this is a still photo, but I want you to, while you're looking at this, imagine all those gears spinning. Because that was, I almost went down the Ezekiel road today. A wheel and a wheel and a wheel and a wheel. You know what I mean? The gears spinning. It was moving. These gears are moving. Okay? So that's the vision in the word. Moving gears and the word engage. So here on this slide we have each gear represents a dispensation. A system of order, dispensation equals a system of order, government, especially as existing in a particular time. Here's an example in a sentence. Scholarship is conveyed to a wider audience than under the old dispensation. I like to look at a dispensation as a segment of time. Okay? Here's some examples. Here's a question before we look at a few examples. Time and dispensations. How is your time divided up? And of course, we live in the world, so we can all look at our watch and say, my watch. My time is divided up into seconds and minutes and hours. And then we can all look at our calendar and say that my time is divided up into days, weeks, months, years, decades, centuries, and millenniums. All right? Times. Segments of time. And some of us think of it when you hear the word dispensation. Have you ever heard the word before? We are under the grace dispensation. So we look at this word dispensation and I almost feel like that's designated to, or we think of that as millenniums, dispensations, segments of time that are set aside in the terms of millenniums. But I like to look at it as segments of time and not necessarily segments of time that equal 1,000 years. And so now, if we put all this together, we have the vision of the gears. And each gear represents a dispensation or a segment of time. All right, we're going to put on some our science heads for a minute, okay? God, and this is lots of fun on Star Trek Voyager because we have time travel and warping of space and time and all that. But remember back in when we were talking about the Gospel of John? And God, in the beginning, God was. God was already. He created the universe. He created creation. And inside of creation exists time, which is broken up into dispensations. But all this within God's creation, it's moving. Amen? The gears are moving. And each gear represents a dispensation. So I do not dispute that we are in the grace period or the time frame, the dispensation of grace. Jesus came. Amen? And we're in this grace dispensation. But I want us to begin to look at our day. Look at us as individuals. I want us to say, okay, Lord, what are my dispensations? What are the gears that are spinning right now? Because we have the idea of the natural way of looking at it, my dispensation of a minute, a second, a week, a day, a month, that type of thing. But now, let's begin to relate, what about God's timetable? And when you look into the scriptures, just very generically, I went through in my own mind, I didn't open the Bible or anything, but there was a dispensation of a time in the garden, right? That's a time frame in history when mankind was created and the animals were created and they were all in the Garden of Eden. Amen? And then another dispensation came about when Adam and the woman transgressed of all the trees you may freely eat, but not this. And so they ate of that, they crossed the line, they transgressed, and consequently they were ousted from the garden. Another dispensation, another segment of time, another way to chart time on our calendar and history. After the garden and before the flood, the time of Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant time, captivity in Egypt. That was a whole segment of time, right? The deliverance from Egypt and the wandering in the wilderness, a segment of time. Entering into the promised land, the time of the judges, major prophets, minor prophets, and then we have Jesus' arrival and Jesus' time, which was, what dispensation is that? 33 years, right? Approximately 33 years was a dispensation. It was a segment of time. Jesus being on the earth from the time he was born till the time he was crucified, that was a segment of time. The return of Christ. Hallelujah. The great white throne judgment. These are all dispensations. These are all gears spinning. Now, question. How are dispensations started and finished? Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, we all know it. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Right? There was no light, and then God spoke, and in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, as God said, it was the start of a dispensation. It was the start of a segment of time. Here's another example in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. And Jehovah God said, behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil, and now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore Jehovah God sent him from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden the cherubim and the flame of a sword, which turned every way to keep. That was the beginning of a new segment of time. How do dispensations start? Say it all together out loud. God says. God speaks. God determines the beginning. And now in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. How do dispensations start and finish? It needs to be, and we need to be sure that these time frames, these segments, are beginning and ending with God. We should not be moved by what the government says. We should not be moved what our friends say. We should not be moved whatever good intentioned person they have. They should not be the one who determines when things start and finish. The time frame that we are living in, what we are engaged to, what we are engaged with, needs to be determined by God. When we hear God say, then we respond and we don't stop until we hear Jesus say, "It is finished." That's what determines a dispensation. Amen. This is good stuff. I hope that you're going to be as excited about it as I am. Because I think it will have great effect on Fisher's Island, your community, your life, your family, wherever we live and move and have our being on this earth. If we will understand this principle of engaging in dispensations, it's going to transform our lives and the culture. Okay. God is leading us on a timetable. Remember, we are a work in progress. Every day is broken up into small dispensations with opportunities to engage with the government of God in our lives. Every day is broken up into small segments of time with opportunities to engage with the government of God in our lives. And this is important. We are each in our own dispensation based on Him speaking to us. Now, granted, we're all under the same dispensation, right? If we're in the dispensation of grace, we're in this time frame of when Jesus left the earth. Remember in the book of Acts? What are you standing there for? He went away. Jesus was taken away from their sight. And then there was also a promise. That's the beginning of the dispensation, then the promise. He's going to return just as you saw Him leave. He's going to return in the same way. So there's a start, Jesus leaving the earth, and the end of this dispensation of grace, if you want to call it that, is going to be His return. There's a time frame. We are living in this dispensation, this segment of time. Amen? But God has a small segments of time for each of us as individuals. We talked about prayer and fasting. Remember in the book this morning? The woman who heard from God to pray and fast, that was for her. She was in the dispensation of prayer and fasting. She can't translate that to the body of Christ. It was spoken to her. Just as Daniel set his heart to understand, it ushered in a dispensation of 21 days from when he set his heart to understand until God moved on his behalf and sent angels who persevered for 21 days to bring him understanding. That was a dispensation of 21 days for Daniel. You and I each have our own relationship with God, our own segments of time that He's divided up for us that cannot be translated across to the body of Christ. Amen? Super important that we understand that, and that we understand that God is speaking to us to bring us into another segment of time. Each of us, here we go, from each stage of glory to the next stage of glory. Does anyone else recognize the work of God in their lives as I do? Where you're in a stage, you're in a season where God is working on a particular thing. That's a dispensation. That's a segment of time. God is working on a particular thing in your life. And you realize the beginning of it. He's called you up. It might have happened in a church service. You could have a time of worship, a time of prayer. You might be listening to the Christian radio station. Whatever it is, all of a sudden you know that God has put his finger on an area. He's brought it to your attention, and now we become a work in progress. Now we begin to realize, oh, he wants to deal with that. He spoke, it ushered in a new dispensation, a new level, and then he's going to be the one who says, it is finished. Now come up, my son, my daughter, to the next level, from glory to glory. Amen? The tragedy is if we don't understand what God is doing in our lives, we never engage with what he's doing in our life. We just take it as revelation. Wow, I know more about the Bible. Wow, I understand more. Wow, I can speak more to an area. But unless we engage, we'll never benefit from that dispensation. And you never move from glory to glory. You stay on that level of glory. He speaks to us as, and as we engage with his command, we grow and are conformed into his likeness. The end game. Dion taught about it last night. That we are become partakers of the divine nature. The end game. It's prophesied. It's predetermined what it is. This is not a spinning wheel. This is not a game of craps. This is not drawing lots, casting lots. It's been predetermined that we be conformed into, hallelujah, the image of Jesus. From glory to glory, we are a work in progress. Unless we engage with the gear, unless we engage with that dispensation, unless we engage with that segment of time, then we'll continue to be where we are. But as we engage with each gear, then we get to move from glory to glory. Amen? Can you see the picture now? You see the gears are spinning, but unless you engage with the gear, I don't know if anybody understands how a transmission works, but you have the motor of the engine, and out of the back of the engine is a crankshaft. It's spinning around by whatever means of propulsion that engine provides, the crankshaft, that provides the power. It's spinning around. Then you put the transmission onto to that gear, but between the transmission and the engine is something called a clutch. You're familiar with it if you ever drove a stick. You have to depress the clutch with your foot, right? And what happens is that gear, the shaft off the back of the motor is able to spin, and all these shafts are able to spin, but when you release the clutch, there's a thing called a pressure plate, which provides friction to engage the gear and to put the power from the engine through the transmission, through the drive shaft, to the tires, which makes a manifestation of movement. Amen? This is where we're going. This is how many believe that the gears are spinning? How many believe there's power out there? How many believe things are in motion? How many believe that God has called you to a destiny, a promised land, and things are in motion? Unless we engage with the process, there will be no power to the tires. There will be no manifestation of movement. So Exodus chapter 19. In the third month after the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. And when they were departed from Rephidim, they were come to the wilderness of Sinai, they encamped in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up to God, and Jehovah called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob. Okay, this is important, because who's saying it? It's still, Moses was inspired. God breathed the words through Moses too. Amen? It's super important that we recognize God's voice wherever it's coming from. We can sit there and say, well, God didn't say it, Moses said it. And justify and rationalize, therefore I don't have to do what it takes in order to engage with it. I don't have to engage with it because it didn't come from thunders and lightnings and shaking and... This is what you should say. Receive from your brothers and sisters. Receive from God. Receive through nature. Receive through preaching and teaching. Receive. Amen? And recognize when God is speaking something, because it very well may be the ushering in of a new dispensation. Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be mine, my own possession from among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and set before them all these words which Jehovah commanded him. Now listen, Exodus 19, verse 8. And all the people answered together and said, all that Jehovah has spoken, we will do. And Moses reported the words of the people to Jehovah. What does that sound like to you? We have the word spoken, then the response. You know the picture I get in my mind with this? Is I'm looking down at the stick shift on my car, right? There's first, second, third, fourth. And I'm seeing the foot on the clutch, and I'm hearing God speak. And the people said, all that God said, we will do. You know what that is? That's goosh, the gear, my stick shift going up into first. I'm engaging and releasing my foot off the clutch. I'm engaging with the word of God. All that he said, I will do. Super important. That's called engaging with the word of God. That's what it looks like. With what are we going to engage? Here's a picture. The clutch in the car enables you to sit still while you think and choose. Isn't it important? Isn't it important to be able to sit and choose? Aren't you glad that you're not just automatically and instantly demanded and commanded? Aren't you glad for the gift of choice? We all have a will, amen. And we've been talking about making our will subject to the Spirit of God. So when it comes time to choose, when you're sitting there, when it comes time to choose, you will be able to choose the right gear. So the clutch is in. Then you can engage a gear. And what's the gear? The dispensation of time. That's the segment of time. It's what God is speaking to you at that moment. While the clutch is depressed, we're in a stage of vacillation. To vacillate. Alternate or waver between different opinions or actions. This is the opportunity to use our will and to choose. Vacillate almost has a negative feel to it when you're wavering. And it can be. It can be that it's a negative, because also within the definition is indecisiveness. Oh, should I do this? Oh, should I do that? I don't know if I should do this. And you're sitting there and sitting there. That's okay for how long? How long does it take to make a decision? may vary from person to person. Aren't you glad that God knows you? Aren't you glad that God knows the number of hairs on your head? Aren't you glad that God knows the number of your days? Aren't you glad that God knows your makeup and knew your makeup before the foundation of the earth? He knew how long it was going to take you to make a decision. He knew how long you would be vacillating. He knew how long you would be wavering. Which gear should I choose? First, second, third? You're sitting there. What should I engage in? He knew. He knew the fear. He knew the ignorance. Time is spinning. We are within time. The gears are moving. When God speaks, things are moving. It's happening. It's all whether you are going to engage with what's happening or not. Amen? The pressure plate is what puts the power of the engine to the tires. And our pressure plate is like our faith. Once we choose a gear, we engage with that gear by our choice and let our foot off the clutch. Then our faith provides the friction we need for there to be activation. This is just, for me, awesome. I love, love, love this teaching. Because what good is it to hear without there ever being activation, a manifestation? God is about manifesting, isn't he? What if God, you know, just spoke about salvation, spoke about a redeemer, but there was never a manifestation of the word became flesh? God is all about there being a manifestation. Here's an example, Joshua 14:6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were of them that spied out the land, rent their clothes. This is after they came back and they were all saying, "Wah." Joshua and Caleb ripped their clothes and they spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If Jehovah delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey." What does that sound like to you? What does it sound like? Do you feel like Joshua and Caleb were vacillating? They were wavering from two opinions. They weren't sure whether they should go in and take the land or not. What does it sound like to you? I think the other spies were vacillating. They were wavering. Should we go in? Shouldn't we go in? It sounds like to me that Joshua and Caleb engaged. The other spies were like, "Oh, I don't know. Should we go? I don't know." Joshua and Caleb were so adamant about this, they ripped their clothes. They were fully engaged with what God had said. God said, "He will bring us into this good land." It doesn't matter what all the spies come up with. It doesn't matter what your eyes have seen. It doesn't matter about the size of the giants. It doesn't matter. I'm engaging with what God has spoken. I am 100% committed. My foot is off the clutch. My faith has provided me the friction to move in and take the land. My faith has provided me the ability to be active, for there to be a manifestation. Without faith, all the revelation and all the engaging would be of no effect. You can engage with the belief that God has said something, but without faith, there will never be power to the wheels. Without faith, you can believe that Jesus can walk on water, but without faith, you will never put power to the wheels and walk on the water with him. Faith is the thing that enables what you've engaged with to be manifest. Amen? Hallelujah. The word activate is a powerful word to make active or operative. Activate. To make active or operative. Here's something that I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you. For many of us, the light is green. You're sitting on a hill. Have you ever been there? How many remember learning how to drive a stick? You're on the hill. You're at the red light. Your foot's on the clutch. Your other foot's on the brake. The light is green. The light turns from red to green. What is that an indication of? It's a new dispensation. You were in the time frame of sitting because there's a red light. It's been spoken. There's authority to stop. But that is only for a certain dispensation. When the light changes from red to green, that is the indication of a new dispensation where you have to engage with a gear and begin to move. I believe that the Holy Spirit was inspiring me to share this. For many of us, the light is green. It's a time. The light is green. It's a time to choose a gear and go. We can't just sit at the light with our foot on the clutch. And listen to this. We might be holding someone up. Remember what we're learning about in intercession. Our lives directly influence other people's lives. What if you're sitting there vacillating? Should I go? Shouldn't I go? I don't know. The Giants are big, blah, blah, blah. And the light's green and your foot's still on the clutch and there are cars behind you. Amen? You can't just sit at the light with your foot. You might be holding somebody up. Find a rest area. Go and pray and fast until you get the answer. If you don't know what to do, if you don't know what gear to engage with, go find a rest area somewhere. Go find a place to pray and fast. To know, what, Lord, what do you want me to engage in? Our decision needs to be birthed as a result of hearing Him, lest we get traction and go in a direction that is not God's will or start in the wrong gear and stall. That's powerful. What if you say, I'm going. You just cram it in a gear and you get traction, but you are not aimed in the right direction. That was just a good idea. That was not a God idea. Pray and fast. Go find a rest area and pray and fast until you get a sense of what dispensation God has called you to engage in. What is He speaking to you? And then and only then should you get out into traffic and start operating and moving. Because how many of us have ever engaged with something? You get full traction and it brings you far from the promised land. Yeah. It's like, and then the other side of it is you put it in the wrong gear and you stop, and what happens? You stall out. You get embarrassed. Ugh. You were moving in the right, you were pointed in the right direction, but you weren't engaged with the glory of glory steps. You starting out on level 4, and you stall. We need to start with the right gear, from glory to glory. You just don't enter into the level that God would have you. Amen? Get the point? Hallelujah. Another one of the complications is the devil muddying the water. In other words, God may have only given us 6 gears, but the devil oftentimes makes us think that we have 26. And here's an example in Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field which God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, has God not said you shall freely eat any tree So he's muddying the water. Isn't it hard enough when you're sitting at the light, your foot's on the clutch, your other foot's on the brake, and the light turns green, to choose the gear, to be in the right gear? It's hard enough if it's only a 6-speed. Imagine if there was 26, you know, the big tractor trailers that have all the gears, the split rear end and all that. What gear do I go in? It can cause you stress and panic. That's why the prayer and fasting, that's why the rest area, that's why the pull off, that's why be in communion. That's why learn the basic ingredients in life that cause us to be in relationship with God. Remember Brother Lawrence practicing the presence of God? He didn't bend down and pick up a straw off the ground, but being motivated by the love of God. And if we will slow down, the way that we can operate in that is if we're practicing it every day. If we're reading the Word, if we're praying, if we're worshiping, if we're having fellowship, if we're giving, all these ingredients, when we're applying all that, it's much easier to know when you're at the light and it changes green, you're already there. How many have seen an experienced driver, one who's just very skilled? Isn't it inspiring? It's like, wow, I want to be able to drive like that. They just let off the clutch and it's so smooth. It's just like being in a chauffeur. And then another place, a young driver's like, you're bouncing all around and your head's bouncing around and you try to drink a cup of coffee and you get cup coffee all over you because it's not smooth. Become fluid at living in the presence of God and hearing His voice. Now, here is the big word. It's time to be activated, beloved. Don't you get that? Do you get a sense of it? Is this just me? Or is there a nodding of heads? I believe it's time to be activated. In order to be activated, we need to engage. Of course, we've heard this, James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? And remember, what are we talking about? What has God been speaking to us? How about the idea of an imagination? How many believe that that's a gear spinning right now? The blessing of imagination, the anointing that would come with engaging. Have you ever had that? They call it a kairos moment. In the Greek, the word kairos is a window of opportunity. Kairos moment is a time when the window is open. Have you ever seen it, and when you're speaking to someone, that their heart is hard? We spoke about it in prayer this morning. Pharaoh's heart was hard, then it was soft. That soft moment is a kairos moment when you can speak and ask for something, and there's a softness there. It's a window of opportunity. And how many believe that there are kairos moments in our lives where there are windows of opportunity? When God speaks, I want you to use your imagination. How many believe that the window is open for you to access that anointing? But you put it on the shelf and you don't activate, you don't engage with it. It's on the shelf, it's dusty, and then you pull it off and blow the dust off and go, hey, I think I'm going to engage with imagination. And guess what? The window's closed on it. The anointing's not there. You can wrestle with it. I'm not talking about the ability to repent. But remember, there are times in the scriptures when God said, move now. They didn't move now. And then they was like, oh, we're going to move now. And then there's big trouble. He says, don't move now. The window is closed. My encouragement would be engage while the season is there. Engage when God is saying something. He's bringing it to us. If He's speaking to you about mercy, hallelujah, or grace and peace. Dion's teaching has been wonderful about grace and peace. How many are engaging with grace in your life right now? Or is it just another teaching? You follow what I'm saying? We've heard. Oh, I've heard about grace. How many have heard about the grace? If you've been on this earth and you've been in the church for more than 10 years, you've heard about grace. You've heard teachings about grace. You've studied about grace. And then when Dion comes and brings a teaching, we can sit there. I know about grace. But this is a dispensation. When someone is inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak something, to bring it to our attention, it's a gear spinning. It's active right now, and we need to engage with that and watch grace be activated in your life right now. Lay hands on yourself. Father, I need the grace. How many have fallen down and stubbed your toe recently, and you're like, Father, I'm sorry. Engage with mercy. How many believe that the gear of mercy is spinning right now, and all we have to do is connect with it, engage with it, that the power of mercy would be engaged in our life and activated? It's no good to have mental assent about mercy. It's no good to be able to teach about mercy. We need to have mercy activated. Power has to go to the wheels and give us traction to be able to activate mercy. Not only to us, but that mercy would flow through us to someone else who needs it. Amen? James, what good is it if a brother's naked and destitute of daily food, and one says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things that are needed? There's no activation. Faith by itself. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith provides the traction for there to be. How many believe that the wheel of provision is spinning, the gear of provision is spinning for the naked and the destitute right now? And if we will engage with that, our faith will bring us to the place that there be traction and that we will be providing clothes and food to the naked and to the hungry. Amen? The gear of provision is spinning. Who will engage with it? Or will we continue to sit in church and listen and listen and listen? Know all about how much. Let's make sure that we're engaging with the right gear every day, because there is also a big dispensation. We need to be faithful to start in the correct gear so we'll be able to get to the next gear when it comes time. You can't start in fourth, nor can you go 55 miles an hour in first. The other word there is synchronized, to be in sync. Hallelujah, right? Do you want to be part of the big dispensation? Listen, these are closing scriptures. Jesus is coming back. Here's a promise from Jesus. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Can you engage with that? If it were not so, I would have told you. I can totally engage with that. In my Father's house there are many mansions. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. Can you engage? Do you believe in, can you conceive of, can you imagine Jesus returning? We've been talking about imagining. Are you spending any time in your day imagining Jesus coming back? Do you ever wake up in the morning and go, huh, I wonder if Jesus will come back today? Or do you ever see the sky look funky and say, I wonder if Jesus would come back today? Do you ever, how much time do you spend imagining Jesus returning? Listen, the more we spend time imagining Jesus returning, the more we will engage with the gears that are spinning on this earth today. The more we will be feeding the hungry, clothing the naked. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand there looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be able to, that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus. Revelation 22, verse 12 through 13. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and listen, I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. There will be no doing. There will be no reward without the engaging. So, spend time. Seek the Lord with the little things. The more you understand how to engage with the little things. I'll give you an example. What if God is speaking to you, I want you to spend 15 minutes every morning, or even maybe what your pastor said. I want you to spend 2 minutes every morning with your prayer partner and lay hands on the map of Fisher's Island and release the power of God into Fisher's Island. Do you think that that's a spinning wheel? Do you think that's a gear that's in motion right now? Do you believe that God is doing something on Fisher's Island? Do you want to engage with that? If you don't believe that it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, then by all means, don't do it. But if you believe that it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, then your faith will provide you the traction in order to get up every morning, lay your hands on that map, get together with your prayer partner, and release the power of God, and watch and see if there's an activation. Watch and see if there's a manifestation of the power of God on Fisher's Island. That's the little thing. Engage with the little gears. Just engage with these little things, and as you do, you'll be able to move from gear to gear to gear. Does this make sense? There's no sense in having church. There's no sense in, you know, none of us want to have church as usual, but there's no sense in our gathering if there's not activation. There's really not. It's one thing if we're all brand new converts. Say, all right, let's sit here for 5 years. Let's sit and understand the fundamentals. But we're way beyond that, beloved, aren't we? And I'm not saying that there aren't many things that are already been activated. I'm not saying that there are many things that we're not already engaged in. But I think it's a vitally important message that we are bringing to the front part of our mind, that we're considering it, that we will look through eyes that are looking for what gear's spinning. Lord, what are you saying? What can I enter into right now? And it can even look like this. You're walking along and there's a circle of people and they're in a conversation. You have an opportunity to enter into that or walk past it. What are you going to engage with? Just because there's a group of people there doesn't mean you enter into it. What you're entering into needs to be motivated because God spoke. God said, enter into that conversation. And when it's time to leave the conversation, Jesus will say, it is finished. Go visit that person because God said. See, we have moments and we have opportunities all day long. So I'm going to pray for us in closing that God would give us a special this gift of discerning of spirits, that we would be able to, it's almost like God would highlight. Have you ever seen on some of these crime shows where they can see blood with a light? You turn off the light, and then they have this special light that they can see blood. I want God to do that for his gears, because the devil's put 100 gears out there. Our world is full of gears. It's all spinning, and a lot of gears all grind. I want God to highlight for us that we would be in a special little grace dispensation of the special ability to pick out what he wants us to engage in. Amen? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this revelation. I thank you, Lord, for the revelation that there are things in motion in the heavenlies. And Father, I pray that you would give us the gift of discerning of spirits. Lord, that we would be able to determine the difference between what we are to engage with and what we are not to engage in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Highlight the things. Even now, Father, I pray for revelation. Lord, I picture us all right now in the hearing of these words that we are in a little mini rest stop. Our foot is on the clutch. It's easy. There's no pressure. I pray that the sense of peace would overwhelm us. Hallelujah, that there's no anxiety in this choosing. It'd be very relaxed. That we're confident and comfortable because we hear the voice of God saying, enter in here. Engage with this. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the supernatural ability to discipline our mind, Lord, that our mind would not engage with things, our imagination would not engage with things that you would have us to avoid, hallelujah. That our mind and imagination would only be engaging with what you've called us to engage in. And I thank you for the special ability, for truly you have given us all things, including the ability, hallelujah, to be engaged with the work of God for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.